Well, praise the Lord. Amen. And we are going to open our Bibles this morning, first of all, to the book of Ezekiel chapter 28. I'd like to welcome everyone here today. God bless you, all of our visitors. And we don't really have members here. Everybody, people just come and worship. Nobody joins anything. Because if we belong to the Lord, then that's well and good. That's registered in heaven. And what man could do means nothing. So either we're in the body of Christ or we're not, and that's his doing. Amen. And so we gather together and we worship and we get into the word and we fight the devil and win victories and get delivered and get healed and get blessed. And it's all good, isn't it? Amen. Praise the Lord. I've often said, people say, what are you trying to do? What are you trying to accomplish? Well, I'm trying to get to heaven by believing the Lord. And you know what? All I want to do, and I actually argued with somebody about this one time, all I want to do is get through the door. I will gladly take the lowest spot. I'm telling you sincerely, I really mean that. It sure beats the alternative, doesn't it? Do you know how many people in hell right now would give anything to have the place where you're sitting? And, you know, it's the devil's job to deceive people, to cloud them, to fog them over, get them to not be able to think straight, lead them off in different directions. But I'll tell you what, if we just simply want the same thing, we want to get to heaven, we know it takes believing the word, not your thoughts and my thoughts, because his thoughts are higher than them all. But just to be right with God and to be able to hear him say, well done, thou good and faithful servant, that should be our desire. Amen. And probably I will get the lowest spot, but I'll be happy with it. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, what we're going to do is pray one more time. I did want to mention, too, that keep me in prayer. There's a lot of things coming up. The Lord willing, I'll be writing the newsletter tomorrow and probably on Tuesday as well. It takes a while, and there is so much material, and it's going to be a challenge. So keep me in prayer. I should be at the computer tomorrow, which I only really use for word processing. I don't go online at all. I don't have time. I just write the newsletter with it. But if you could keep me in prayer, I would really appreciate that. It's wonderful. I can feel it when you do pray. I know people are praying for me because there is an undergirding. There is a lifting up, a presence that I feel, presence of God, and it's very definite. So do pray for me, and I thank you for it. And then, of course, are there other things happening? I'm thankful to see our folks here from the Pickett, Oshkosh area, and we'll be having a study with them the last Tuesday of every month out there, and we're going to have a great, great time. Amen. Looking forward to that. And then on June 4th, 3rd and 4th, I'll be in Kaukauna. I've been invited to speak at a prophecy conference. There will be different preachers there from all over the country, and they've asked me to come and speak on how to overcome the occult, and I'm very happy to do that. Praise the Lord. So I'll be there, so keep me in prayer on that one as well. That's at the Lighthouse Church in Kaukauna. So, a lot of things going on, a lot of other things coming up. We're starting a church in Michigan in the Cadillac Interlochen area. That'll be the end of July. There's a number of people that the Lord has brought together. He's just raising it up from nowhere. And we're going to help them get started. And, of course, in Washington, keep praying for the church out there, for Will and all the others out there. And we'll be having some visitors from Washington coming in just a little over a week. So we're thankful for that. God's doing great things. Amen. He's healing. He's strengthening. He's lifting up. Healing cancers. People are so afraid of that word, but it's no challenge for God. He made us. He put us together. All kinds of great reports coming in. Because people are seeking the Lord. And with that, of course, I get my poison pen letters and hate mail and all that kind of stuff too. So, but that's okay. If people didn't hate me, I'd start to wonder about me. You know what? The Bible says, woe unto you when all men shall speak well of you. Not woe unto the men out there, but woe unto you. You're in trouble if everybody loves you. Well, I don't have that problem. So, praise the Lord. But anyway, praise God. We're going to have a word of prayer here. Father in heaven, we are so humbled and so thankful to be able to open thy holy word together. And I know, O Lord, that without thee we can do nothing. I have no ability whatsoever to speak or to preach thy word, except that thou strengthen me and make it possible. And all of us here, O Lord, have no ears to hear except that thou give us them. So, Lord, let every heart hunger and thirst after righteousness. Let every one of us be humbled under thy mighty hand. O Lord, let thy great and powerful Spirit, even the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of Jesus, come now into our hearts and stir us up and help us to realize that we are in the last days of time. Thy coming is nigh at hand. And, O Lord, that in the midst of all of the confusion out there, we have thy guiding light and thy strengthening power. Be with us, Lord, I pray. Let the devil be put to flight. Let him have no power over us. For taking the authority of thy holy name, I now bind every devil, every unclean spirit, every force of darkness, every hindering power. I break every hex, vex, and curse sent against anyone that is named by thy name, O Lord. I bind and break all of this in Jesus' name. Let thy word have free course and full power. Lift us up, O God. O Lord, strengthen us with might from above and keep us in the way everlasting. And I ask it in Jesus' name through the power of the blood. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. Well, we're going to open our Bibles to Ezekiel 28. And, you know, I've been called a lot of things, but I've never been accused of being vague. Amen. So I'm going to tell it just like it is, like I always do, because I don't know how else to do it. And we're going to be looking at a subject today that we're going to call. And when I tell you this title, you're going to probably have images in your mind about what you think I'm going to preach about, and you may get surprised. But we're going to call this message today the final seduction. The final seduction. For you see, there is a seducing spirit. And that, of course, was told to us by our Lord Jesus Christ long ago that in the last days there will be many seducing spirits, but there is one prevailing seducing spirit that is about to bring people to a place where they're going to make the most important decision they've ever made in their lives. They're either going to say to the beast power, yes, or they're going to say no. I believe that at that point in time, you know, a lot of people have asked me, if I take a driver's license or a social security card and all that, is that taking the mark of the beast? Now, the beast is in that. It's designed by the beast. But where you say no, absolutely not, is when they try to cut into your flesh, insert anything, when that chipmobile comes around. Did you know that Applied Digital Solutions in Florida, I saw a picture of it, I've got a picture of it, it's a big step van, big one, called the chipmobile. It's kind of like the Oscar Mayer Wiener Wagon, except it's not to sell hot dogs. It's a chipmobile, and it's coming to a city near you. And they'll come in, and they will put that into you so that you can be locked into the global positioning satellite. Your children, if they're abducted, they'll find them right away. Your pet, if it's abducted, find your pet right away. But they're not concerned about that. It's not so you can find children, find your pet. They want to keep an eye on you, and you will have your greatest opportunity of your lifetime, the opportunity to say no. Once that happens, the Bible tells that a great sickle, as it's called, is going to reap the earth because the harvest is ripe. Everybody that's going to say no will have said no. And so the reaping takes place. Then, shortly thereafter comes that great and final destruction of the world, and that reaping with a fiery sickle, that sickle held by the angel that hath power over fire. Did you ever read that in Revelation chapter 14? So these are amazing times that we're living in, and everything that you see right now taking place in the news, everything you're hearing about, is all leading up to that event. There is a final seduction. Many have fallen. Many more will fall. Did you know the Bible says one of the great last signs is, because iniquity shall abound, the love of many, not a few, the love of many shall wax cold. Do you realize that Jesus taught that of all the people that hear the gospel, Only 1/4 of them will ever make it. That's a sobering number, isn't it? And so when you see people fall or fall away or whatever they do, it breaks your heart, and yet you see Scripture is being fulfilled. And I know that there's nothing we can do but trust in God, let His Spirit work, and no matter what anybody else does, we must all do the right things. Stay faithful to the Word of God. Be true to the Word. Value the Word. Love the Word. The Bible says in the last days that there will be a great falling away. Why? Because people received not the love of the truth. Amen. Pastors that don't love the truth, people that don't love the truth. And the Bible says, for this cause shall God send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie. A seductress is here already in this world. A spiritual seducing and drawing together. And very soon, we come to our finest hour. And we already learn to say no to the devil. And when you tell the devil no, you need to let him know it means no. It's a very simple little two-letter word, no. No now, it's no tomorrow, it's no next week, it's no forever. We will not capitulate with the powers of darkness. Amen. So, that being said, I want to take you into Scripture right now in Ezekiel 28. And we're going to go down to the verse number 11. And we're going to look at the king of Tyrus. Now, Tyrus, of course, was a city on the northeast shore of the Mediterranean Sea, along with Sidon, Tyre and Sidon. And geographically, they were located there at what the Germans called their Mittelmeer, the Middle Sea, Mediterranean Sea. And, of course, all the beast kingdoms had risen up out of that sea. Remember, Daniel chapter 7? There was the lion with the two wings and stood up and spake like a man, Babylonian kingdom. There was the bear with the three ribs in its mouth. That was the Medo-Persian kingdom. That tenacious bear won't back down. Its word is final. Then there was the leopard with four wings and four heads. Remember? You remember your history, don't you? Are hearing about this in the Bible? The kingdom of Alexander the Great, the Grecian Empire. Of course, Alexander died at a very early age, and his four generals, Lysimachus, Cassander, Ptolemy, and Seleucus, took over the kingdom. That's why that leopard had four heads. Each one of these empires had religion in it. They had astrologers. They had soothsayers. They had an operation of the spirit of Satan within. Of course, then came the Roman Empire, which was seen by God and described by God to Daniel. Of course, he let Daniel observe this in the vision. And it was an indescribable beast, had great iron teeth. It ripped apart and even stamped on the residue of what it had torn asunder. Just a very violent, voracious beast. And then, of course, that empire fell. And we have never, ever, ever since had a one-world government. We almost have one now. Almost. And a lot of different dictators and powers had arisen and tried to put Humpty Dumpty back together again. You know where that nursery rhyme came from, don't you? Humpty Dumpty sat on a wall. Humpty Dumpty had a great fall. All the king's horses and all the king's men couldn't put them together again. An egg was broken. What's the symbol of Babylon? An egg with a serpent with a crescent moon above it, right? And when those empires fell, how did they fall? Through the power of the gospel. Rome fell in three stages, in three parts. But it fell. And Satan has been trying to put this thing together ever since. And finally, in these latter days, through two world wars, over 220 revolutions, and all of this wars and rumors of wars and bloody turmoil, all of this, It's all his attempt to put it all back together again so he can be the God of this world and rule over the whole thing, with every single person in it being subservient to him and marked by him. That's his plan. According to Daniel 2:44, it will not work, because there is only one King of Kings. There is only one Almighty. How can you have more than one Almighty? There's only one who is Almighty. And the Bible says that he would establish a kingdom during the days of those four kings, and he did during the Roman time, and that kingdom would never be removed. And of the increase of that kingdom, there would be no end. He has a kingdom, and he is king. Satan has set up counterfeit puppet governments, administrations, empires, ruling entities, and nothing works. It has self-destruct mechanisms built into it. But Satan became known as the king of Tyre. And from that word Tyre, or Tyrus, the city of Tyrus, where Satan took up his headquarters. Do you ever wonder where he is? The Bible says he's been thrust out of heaven. True, he's the prince and power of the air, but the Bible says that he has been thrust down to the earth. Read it. Revelation chapter 12. When the Son of Man was lifted up on the cross of Calvary, Satan was thrust out. He's walking to and fro on the earth, up and down in it. In the days of Tyre and Sidon, he chose to set up his capital in the city of Tyre. It's not there today, it's somewhere else now. I'll come back to that point. But from that word Tyre or Tyrus, you get the word tyrant. Incidentally, the word capital, like the capital in Madison, capital in Washington, look it up in your dictionary. It means the temple of Zeus. So you go down there to Madison, go down East Washington Avenue and come to the square. Park your car if you can, and you can look right up at it. There is the temple of Zeus. And Zeus has temples all over. They're called capitals. It's in your dictionary if you've got a good one. They're even changing those around. Get a good old Oxford dictionary. That's the meaning of the word. And that's why when you go in those places, you see all of the idolatry, the idols, the paintings, icons, and so forth all over the place. The zodiac on the oaken doorways, archways, and all these things. There is nothing more dysfunctional than a Capitol building or any government building, because it's wasted space. Would you want to have to pay the heat bill on that thing? And why is it there? Because it's got to appear a mile high so you can appear to be an inch tall. So that when you look at it, you feel, oh. And just looking at it, the marble steps and all of the imposing structure of it is supposed to make you feel little, like there's nothing I could possibly ever do to oppose such a thing. Who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? Nobody, of course. The question isn't answered in the Bible, but we know the answer. Who is able to make war with him? Huh? You and I, in the name of the Lord. Amen. Making war with the beast. And we understand, because the Lord has lifted us to a vantage point. You see, when you're lifted up into heavenly places in Christ Jesus, you have a different vantage point. You can see where all the mistakes are being made. You're lifted up and away from the earth in the Spirit, and you see the idolatry. You see what's going on in so-called Christian churches and how antichrist it is. And you can spot all of this, and you can say, thank God, but you know that he's rescued me. But it's still heartbreaking to see the people being drawn away into this system. Now, let's look at what God said about the king of Tyre. He's not talking about a man here, as some have claimed. And you can see this very clearly as we read it. So verse 11 says, moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyrus, and say unto him, thus saith the Lord God, thou sealest up the sum. In other words, you're the bottom line, right? Full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. Did you know that Satan was once Lucifer, the son of the morning, the holder of the light, the guardian of the throne of God, the most beautiful of all of the archangels? And what happened is, and he's saying, thou sealest up the sum. Now what does that mean? Something was going to be found in him that has spread to people throughout this world. Watch this. Thou sealest up the sum full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Now you know he's not talking to a human king there. He's talking to the king of Tyrus, Satan, the tyrant. And he does have a place. You know, you look in the seven churches in Revelation chapter 2 and 3, and you will find that references are made where Satan's seat is. He has a seat of authority, a dragon that empowers the beast and the false prophet. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering. He was a bejeweled being. The sardius, topaz, and the diamond. The beryl, the onyx, and the jasper. The sapphire, the emerald, and the carbuncle. The gold, and gold rather. The workmanship of thy tabrets and of thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou wast created. He is a created being. God is not. God is forever. He always was and always will be. Can you understand that? Certainly not. You can't understand, but you can believe it. Do we have to understand something to believe it? It's called faith, isn't it? And faith causes the unseen to be seen. Faith causes the impossible to become possible. Blessed is he that has not seen and yet has believed, Jesus said. There's a lot of things that we haven't seen that we believe in. And we believe because the Spirit of God in us confirms it to us, to our minds, which are finite. Can we believe that God always was, is, and always will be? Yeah, we can believe that, but our minds can't really explain it, can they? Stop and think about it for a minute. We can't even explain our own universe. Not even really our own solar system. By the way, there's a lot of signs coming that way too, you know. We had a recent eclipse of the moon. I saw some of the pictures taken just before this eclipse started. As the full moon rose up, you could see one picture was taken in Russia from the Kremlin. The word Kremlin means fortress. There was that red five-pointed star sticking up, and the moon rose right over it. The picture was taken with that star right in front of the moon. Very ominous looking. And then, of course, the moon turned blood red. I think there's a sign there somewhere. Have you ever read that in a scripture? There were other signs that appeared. In fact, two comets appeared just after the eclipse of that moon. With only a few days, two comets. And now we are going to have Venus eclipse the sun, come between the sun and the earth. And some of these spectacles have never, ever been seen before. It's a first time and happening here at the very end of the world. Furthermore, if you will take note, I noticed this past couple of weeks. I've been looking up in the sky. I often do this. Jesus said, look up. And he said, there'll be signs in the sun, moon, and stars. So I'm looking. And having been an amateur astronomer, see, I'm not really officially anything. I'm completely, absolutely non-official. I don't know if that bothers you or not. But I've been an amateur astronomer for many years, since I was just a little guy. And always was just fascinated with all the sciences. But at a glance, I looked up along the ecliptic line, and I thought something looks strange up there. I haven't verified this yet. I'm going to be running some tests and doing some observations with my equipment, but the moon didn't look like it was in its right place. It looked like it was off a little bit. and noticeably so. Now remember, there's a lot of things they're not telling us. And I don't think that the moon is really off. I think the earth is. I think what has happened is, I think the earth is speeding up. Time is moving faster. The time-space continuum has changed. It's very difficult to prove because of relativity and so forth. If something has changed, what has changed? Is the moon moving slower or the earth moving faster? The moon came up 55 minutes late the other day. According to all the charts from the U.S. Naval Observatory and the Old Farmer's Almanac, which uses the same charts, ephemeris tables, and so forth, the moon's been coming up late. It never has done that before. Things are off a little bit. Has the Earth developed a wobble? Well, it's always had a wobble. It wobbles one wobble every 25,000 years, so it hasn't really wobbled once yet. But the wobble is there. But the Bible does say that in the last days, that the Lord would make a quick work upon the earth and cut it short in righteousness. That except those days be shortened, no flesh should be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. Now there are some odd things going on, folks. And the moon is coming up an average of 5 minutes late according to all the charts. And those charts have been accurate for all these years up until now. Up until recently. What happened? What's going on? Something has changed. Well, the scripture says the earth shall be removed out of her place. It already is orbiting. Of course, it rotates at 23.5 degree angle, and it is orbiting around the sun in an eccentric orbit. It's out of round. And everything out there was relatively precise. We have periodic comets that would show up right on time. Everything happening right on time. We could chart it, but not anymore. All so-called bets are off. I want to tell you, without any hesitation, reservation, or equivocation, to borrow a term from the Freemasons, that our Lord cometh. And we are very close. We are at the very doors. Everything Jesus said you and I should be looking for is happening. And the world is missing it. The Bible says that they that are righteous, that God's people will understand, but the wicked shall never understand. They're not going to figure this out. But by the grace of God and by His Word and by His Spirit, we can. Now, it tells us, it describes Satan, the king of Tyrus, having been in the Garden of Eden, the Garden of God, bejeweled. It also says that he was created with music in him. Thy tabrets and thy pipes, it says, was prepared in thee, the workmanship of it, prepared in thee in the day that thou wast created. Music was created in Lucifer. What happens when you have beautiful music, heavenly music, created in an angelic being and he becomes Satan? Does he still have music? Have you ever heard any of it? Huh? And you wonder about these cars driving down the street and these young people in there, and they get these big amplification system and big speakers in there. You can hear them a quarter mile down the road. Boom, 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 boom. And they're supposed to drive safely? It's weird, isn't it? But it's because of this verse 13, which says that music was created in Lucifer and he became Satan. And of course, he's a very religious being. He likes to come to church and then he likes to take his music to church. And he has a very willing audience ready to capitulate to all of that dark side of music. And you look at, we have some, I don't know where to begin or end sometimes. Do you know we actually have a Christian tattoo organization? In the United States, Christian Tattoo Organization. And the scripture tells us in Leviticus 19 to not make any cuttings in the flesh or print any marks on the body. There are Christian nudist camps, Christian nightclubs. They like to stick the word Christian as a prefix in front of every evil thing. And now there's a new movie coming out the end of May called Saved. It's about a Christian school. Macaulay Culkin is in it from Home Alone. That little human devil. Huh? I'll tell you what, he is. He is so full of spirits. But they've got, and I've seen pictures of this thing, and the girls at the school are half naked. It's going to be an absolute mockery of Christianity. It's called Saved. It is going to be one dreadful, blasphemous production. And of course, we have on Broadway in New York, and you look at some of these awards that are being given and nominations for them, productions such as Wicked, there's no ambiguity there. Another one that won an award, won a nomination, and actually won the Pulitzer Prize was I Am My Own Wife, and it's about a transvestite. But that is the appetite that people have. Folks, it's later than you think. And you look at the appetites of what people want, what they're paying for, what they're demanding. Thankfully, the pornography industry in California is shut down because there's an epidemic of the AIDS virus and they don't dare take any chances in infecting any more. They're going to run out of stars, if you can call them that. I know what tale those stars were pulled down in, too. Read about it in Revelation 12. But folks, this situation that we're in is because of this fallen being here who has gone forth into the world. In fact, let's read verse 14. But pointing out again, he is a created being. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth, and I have set thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. He was there, he's not now. Thou hast, notice all the past tense here, wast, hast. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created till iniquity was found in thee. You know, I used to do some teaching at on the university campus in Madison. And we go down to the student union, the big memorial union there, and we'd go in and take a room, and I would teach these students the Bible. And they're all of these free thinkers there, you know? They'll throw everything at you and some things at you that don't even exist. But I enjoy working with students, and I enjoy the challenge of it. And one of the questions came up one time. I asked them a question and said, would you explain to me the origin of evil? Where did evil come from? Because they talk about good and evil, and even in the Eastern religions, they have the yin and yang, you know, the positive, negative, good and evil, male and female, male being good and female being evil. That's in all the Oriental religion. That's why if you go in a karate class, they'll have you, put your arm up, make a circle and bring it down, and then at a right angle, make a fist, leave the other palm open, bring the fist into the palm, bring it down while you're saying the words light and dark, male and female, good and evil, and so forth. It's all religion. Make the little circles, you know, with the hands, which, by the way, is a 666. You see, there's the three-tailed comet, right? See, the president and Rumsfeld doing that all the time. The old AOK symbol. And watch, I've got pictures of the president and his some of these others. They're walking around, and they've got these middle fingers, two middle fingers, tipped in like this. Even when they're at their side, they can't seem to not do the Al Cornuno, the satanic salute. That's an unusual way to hold your hand. I got a picture of Tony Blair doing the Spock thing, you know, where you got to bend your fingers out like that. Now, you have to purposely do that. That's not a normal way to hold your fingers. And he's just standing there talking like that. That's because these evil entities have taken over and you're seeing them in everything. Satan has come in like a flood. And he is working toward that final seduction, which gives us the grand and noble opportunity to say, No. Now, so the Lord describes this perfect being who became evil. And so I asked the question, the students didn't have an answer. Give me the origin of evil. Explain it to me. The only explanation is right here. It had to start with somebody. There had to be a first evil act. Where did it come from? Oh, they have, I love to get in those deep questions. This guy named Richard Johnson, a good friend of mine at Oshkosh. I don't know why he liked, I guess I get in deep with him, and so he liked me, but he didn't agree with me. Because he was a member of the Hemlock Society and Communist Party, Socialist Party. He's one of these ultra-liberal guys. But we had some great discussions. And so Richard was saying to me, one time we're talking about, I was telling him how God created the world, and he said, no, we evolved from monkeys. You know, first we were these little single-celled creatures and became something else and something else, and you know, a fish and a frog and all these different things hopped up on land and decided we were going to go from reptile to mammal and so forth, and finally got all the way up to monkey. And then, swinging through the trees one day, this monkey got this his first Gnosticism ever. He got thinking, I don't want to be a monkey anymore. So what I'll do is I'll chop my tail off, put on a suit, and then they'll have to call me Mister, right? So all this kind of nonsense and silly stuff, right? And so I said, Richard, I said, it doesn't add up. I said, you got all these transitions here. And he said, well, of course, it's because, you know, the reason you can't see it, Meyer, is because there's missing links. You know, there's a missing link here and a missing link here, but that doesn't change the whole theory of it. And so I said, now, Richard, one thing you have to remember is this about those missing links, and that is that all of them are missing. Right? They're not there. And then we went on, and I was trying to tell him about the coming of the Lord, that there was going to be, the Lord was going to come again, and of course, he just couldn't, that just didn't even register with him. So then I got his attention. I said, now, Richard, one thing I will tell you is that I do believe in the Big Bang Theory. I really do, the Big Bang Theory. And then he thought he was getting through to me. Really? Well, now we got a basis on which to talk. And I said, no, Richard, not that there was one, but that there's one coming. Because the day of the Lord shall come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, big bang, right? And the elements shall melt with fervent heat, the earth also and all the works that are therein shall be burned up. There's the big bang. It's coming. And we need to be ready and in the palm of his hand. If you're in the palm of God's hand, you're not going to worry at all about what is happening out there. Do you feel threatened by this impending doom, this Antichrist? I don't. Not in the least. The Lord has his hand upon us. And I'm going to show you in a little while, when we go back to Isaiah, how the Lord's going to take care of us. Now, first of all, let's look a little further at this adversary. In verse 15, he said, thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created till iniquity was found in thee. That is the origin of all iniquity. It was just found in him. By the multitude of thy merchandise, they have filled the midst of thee with violence. What has filled the earth with violence? A certain kind of merchandise. Hell's commerce. A system of buying and selling, a system of counter-trade transactions, a system of money, of unjust weights and balances, of a currency that is worth nothing, except that people believe in it, and they're willing to accept it and exchange it in counter-trade transactions, but intrinsically it has no value. One of the laws of economics, by the way, is that everything will return to its intrinsic value, which means the $100 bill will eventually return to about 1/100th of 1 cent. That's a law of economics. Everything returns to its intrinsic value. Anyway, I mean, you can deceive people for a while, but it's all going to go down. So, by the multitude of thy merchandise, they have filled the midst of thee with violence, and thou hast sinned. Therefore, I will cast thee as profane out of the mountain of God, And I will destroy thee, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire. Thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. His own heart was lifted up. You mean Satan has a heart? He's got an infernal spiritual heart, not something that pumps blood. He has no blood. He's preoccupied with it and gets other people preoccupied with it. But he has a mind, a will, and emotions. That's the heart. Thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. Can you corrupt wisdom by reason of your own brightness? Look at the professors who think that they have an Ein Sof, a God within, that they are their own God. Their intelligence is their God, and they can measure it with a test. They can come up with an IQ, an intelligence quotient, which is the measure of their God self. I know I've worked around a lot of them and worked with some. And there are some that you can talk to, but most you can't. They really feel that it's their right to rule over those who are less gifted. That they are benevolent. They like to refer to themselves as benevolent. Benevolent little gods that are here to help people and control and make things work. To manipulate for our good. Because we are incapable of taking care of ourselves, therefore they will take care of us for us. It's quite a train of thought, isn't it? I will cast thee to the ground, he says. I will lay thee before kings that they may behold thee. Thou hast defiled thy sanctuaries, meaning sacred places. The devil has sacred places, all right? Sacred to him. So he's saying here, thou hast defiled thy sanctuaries by the multitude of thine iniquities, by the iniquity of thy traffic. What is traffic? Well, it means trading. As on Wall Street. As in the stock market. As in the NYSE, the New York Stock Exchange. As in NASDAQ, which stands for no answers, so don't ask questions. NASDAQ. It's an acronym. No, they say it's something else, but we know what it is. So thou hast defiled thy sanctuaries. By what? By the traffic. Therefore will I bring forth a fire from the midst of thee. It shall devour thee, and I will bring thee to ashes upon the earth in the sight of all them that behold thee. All they that know thee among the people shall be astonished at thee. Thou shalt be a terror, and never shalt thou be any more. Satan is to be destroyed. Never shalt thou be any more. The one who caused all this grief and trouble. But now let's go back for a few minutes to Isaiah chapter 23. Remembering the king of Tyre as being Satan. We're going to go into Isaiah 23 and follow through on this thought. Here it says, the burden of Tyre. Oh, and what a burden it is. Howl, ye ships of Tarshish. For it is laid waste, so that there is no house, no entering in from the land of Chittim. It is revealed to them. Of course, that land is Cyprus, the island of Cyprus. Be still, ye inhabitants of the isle, thou whom the merchants of Zidon that pass over the sea have replenished. So we're looking at a picture here of a massive and powerful shipping trade in ancient times, the time of when Satan was ruling at Tyrus. But you're going to see that there is a transition made and he relocates somewhere in this country. And we'll identify that. We can find the United States in prophecy. I've done it many times. In verse 3 it says, and by great waters the seed of Sihor, the harvest of the river, is her revenue. And she is a mart of nations. As in Walmart. Meaning a marketplace of nations. Tyre was the marketplace of nations back then. They didn't have Walmart back then because Sam Walton had to be born and become a Freemason, 33rd degree Scottish Rite, and then be given the go-ahead by the Illuminists to have the complete control of all mercantilism in the United States and in the world. Now Walmart has completely taken over Mexico. And many other countries as well. But they've been given the green light, and by the way, all of their primary manufacturers, or suppliers, I should say, manufacturing companies of goods, are setting up with Walmart in their radio frequency ID system, RFID, to be fully and completely implemented and activated by the end of this year. Some have said it couldn't be, it's too soon, but they said, no, we've worked out a deal. I've got an article from a newspaper on this, mainstream newspaper, and they're saying, no, we have worked out a deal. They're going to know everything. They're going to have a complete tracking system for everything in their store and where it goes and how much of it you've got in your home by the end of this year. The word is out. And somebody gave them the ability to expand like that and to do those things. There is a hell's commerce to work along with the final seduction and the mark of the beast in the last days. That's why Verichip has the chipmobile coming to a city near you. And by great waters, the seed of Sihor. Oh, by the way, a week from now, you'll see that on the bulletin board, the picture of the chipmobile. We'll have it up here for you. Where'd we get it? Right off their own website. All right. By great waters, the seed of Sihor, the harvest of the river, is her revenue, and she is a mart of nations. Be thou ashamed, O Zidon, for the sea hath spoken, even the strength of the sea, saying, I travail not, nor bring forth children, neither do I nourish up young men, nor bring up virgins. So it's not for the sustenance of a nation population-wise. Do you see that? It's not for the nourishment or good of people, but rather for an agenda, a system of control by a king of this world who has risen up against God. Verse 5 says, as at the report concerning Egypt, so shall they be sorely pained at the report of Tyre. Egypt fell, so will Tyre. And it did. Pass ye over to Tarshish. That's at the other end of the Mediterranean Sea, the Iberian Peninsula, the poles of Hercules, Gibraltar. Pass ye over to Tarshish, howl, ye inhabitants of the isle. Is this your joyous city, whose antiquity is of ancient days? Her own feet shall carry her afar off to sojourn. Who hath taken this counsel against Tyre? The crowning city, whose merchants are princes. Now, ordinarily, you had princes as ruling a government or a system, but merchants are princes. It's all welded together in a socialistic enterprise. Merchants are princes whose traffickers, traders, are the honorable of the earth. Now, notice, those that are honored by men, those that are esteemed highly by men, but not by God. Do you ever see these prestigious men that are ruling everything? Wearing their suits and ties and these benevolent people who have foundations to help with the AIDS, you know, problem and help with this and help with that, and always financing the things that are somehow benefiting them. That's the kind of a world we live in, and they've built it this way. But it goes on, and it says, the Lord of hosts hath purposed it to stain the pride of all glory, all the glory of men. It's almost as if you put a nice white shirt on and somebody spilled grape juice on it. Then you have to go to church that way or whatever you're going. Big stain there. It's embarrassing, isn't it? People think, well, what a klutz. You know, you can't even drink or eat, you know. People think all kinds of things because people basically inwardly have an old Adam and they're not nice and it pops up once in a while. Right? But God said he would stain this whole enterprise and all of its glory and to bring into contempt all the honorable of the earth. To be brought into contempt. I can feel a little contempt for them, can't you? When you see what they have done. And the financing of all the wars and all of the pain and suffering and so forth that's going on. And you know, it's an outrageous thing that's happening in our day. One thing after another. You know, this man who was executed. They said he was executed by these terrorists. Put it on the internet. And I don't doubt that they had him. But his father, and of course, they picked a Jewish man, didn't they? Just for a further outrage. But they had him in an orange jumpsuit, used really exclusively by our prison, see? And our government says, we never had him. And his father is saying, you had him and you kept him 13 days. Now, why would they keep him 13 days? And why would they leave him in that orange jumpsuit and then throw him out there so these Al-Qaeda people could take him, who probably gave him a lethal injection and killed him? I think he was dead at the time they beheaded him because the scream was spliced in, quite obviously, and there was no blood. And the way they did it, it would have been all over the place. They did behead him, but I think he was dead at the time they did it. I can't be sure of that, but I highly suspect it. Nevertheless, the damage was done. Great outrage. The abuses by our forces in that prison are absolutely reprehensible. Why is this happening? One outrageous, antagonistic act against another, and it is fomenting a huge, festering boil in this world. This thing is going to blow sky high. Retaliation is going to come to this country. And one of the reasons God's going to allow it is because this country has been so absolutely wicked and refuses to repent. This country will be brought down by sin. And where is the help when you continually blaspheme God? Can we look to Homeland Security to maintain things? Who's going to defend this country when within the next couple of months, a full 40% of all forces in Iraq will be National Guard? And you think they're not going to draft men and women? Now, President Bush has two daughters, both graduating from college this year. One from Austin and the other from Yale. Now, if he thinks that sending women into combat is a good thing, then I wonder if he will take the good of it by sending his own daughters. They'll be prime draft material, but don't look for that to happen. It's no level playing field out there. It's a tragedy. All of this is. People say, don't you support our troops? The only way I know to support them is bring them home. Get them out of there. They shouldn't be there. The whole Illuministic way is a massive warp, and it's warping people's minds. But here, looking at the scripture, we're going to see a comparison is being made. And I believe I know the city that Satan dwells in. Not that he doesn't move around, but I think I know where his headquarters is. And his name adds up to 666. I can tell you in advance if you want to know. It's two words. New York. I think that's his headquarters. And I think he likes to play around with Rome and London. But I think his headquarters is in New York, and I think I can tell you why. And thankfully, there's going to be another relocation when the Lord comes. Amen. So notice here in verse 7, is this your joyous city? I have to finish this in 12 minutes. I'm trying to watch the time because our many CDs that we record on only hold 80 minutes. And that is a challenge for me. I have to try to be, I don't want to abbreviate anything, but I have to try and stay within that time frame. So he says in verse 7, is this your joyous city whose antiquity is of ancient days? Her own feet shall carry her afar off to sojourn. There's going to be a relocation, isn't there? Who hath taken this counsel against Tyre, the crowning city, whose merchants are princes, whose traffickers are the honorable of the earth? The Lord of hosts hath purposed it to stain the pride of all glory and to bring into contempt all the honorable of the earth. Pass through thy land as a river, O daughter of Tarshish. There is no more strength. He stretched out his hand over the sea. He shook the kingdoms. The Lord hath given a commandment against the merchant city to destroy the strongholds thereof. A command was given against Tyrus. And he said, thou shalt no more rejoice, O thou oppressed virgin daughter of Zidon. Arise. Remember how Babylon says, I sit a virgin and am no widow? Huh? Did you read that in Revelation? Arise, pass over to Chittim. There also shalt thou have no rest. So there was a transition in place. Where would Satan transplant his seat of authority? Behold the land of the Chaldeans. Again I say, New York. Because it has all the characteristics of it. And isn't it interesting that we are now fighting a war in the ancient land of the Chaldeans? That war would be used as a springboard to a next world war. Behold the land of the Chaldeans. This people was not till the Assyrian founded it. For them that dwell in the wilderness. The Assyrians and Chaldeans were noted for their astrology, their soothsaying, their fortune telling, their gods and goddesses. If you look down the corridor of time, you can see that when the Roman Empire fell, it fell, but an ecclesiastical power came up. The Pope, the papacy, the Vatican. And during their tenure of terrorism, in going through the Dark Ages and the Middle Ages until the Reformation, and I'm just talking about the church Reformation there. I'm not talking about the true Reformation. That happened when Jesus went to the cross. But when the 95 Theses were nailed on the church door at Wittenberg in Germany on Halloween, and Rome begat many daughters, a harlot with many daughters that are harlots, so that there would be a proliferation of false doctrine and evil and denominations and divisions, every one of them false, all through. Only God would be able to take his remnant and hang on to them because this system would sweep them away. We see a satanic religion showing itself as Christian and an economic system, a system of evil governance, control of money, control of people, also rising up. So it says, behold the land of the Chaldeans. This is a new land now. This people was not. They weren't there till the Assyrian founded it for them that dwell in the wilderness. They set up the towers thereof. Does Manhattan have any towers in it? It's got two less than it had, but if you've ever been to Manhattan, have a good look at it. It's a vertical city. There are over 400 skyscrapers in that little 13-mile island. And you get right in there, right downtown, Fifth Avenue, St. Patrick's Cathedral area, right across the street from the Tishman Building, 666 Fifth Avenue. They're the ones who build all the, that's their address, build all these big skyscrapers and so forth, a great deal of them. You look at that city, and you look at all the towers. Here we have a city being described in the Bible that would set up the the towers thereof. They raised up the palaces thereof. And he, meaning God, brought it to ruin. God brought it down. And then he says, how, all ye ships of Tarshish, for your strength is laid waste. That this great city would rise up in strength. Great mercantilism and the center of all trade and exchange, called the capital city of the world. The avenue of the Americas. And all those sort of things, right? How, all ye ships of Tarshish, just like reading Revelation 18, for your strength is laid waste. And it shall come to pass in that day that Tyre shall be forgotten 70 years. According to the days of one king, after the end of the 70 years, shall Tyre sing as an harlot. Now watch that carefully. You go back to when this big city was being built and we had World War I, the Great War. They said it was the war to end all wars. And they thought they were going to have a League of Nations to unify the world, and it failed. Woodrow Wilson, who wanted to see that happen, died shortly thereafter. An imbecile, which was brought on by syphilis. That's not in your history books, but it's true. And the League of Nations failed. And after that great world war, the Great War, 1918, it ended. And Illuminism began to blossom forth, and New York began to increase in strength and all the trade and everything, commerce going on. Building more and more buildings, increasing. And then in 1929, you know what happened, don't you? Down it went. And we went the entire, because of what happened on Wall Street in 1929, the entire nation went into a depression. The Great Depression, it's called. Along with that, we had a Dust Bowl out west. Every kind of problem imaginable came forth. And yet, it continued on. Now, when it says God would forget them for 70 years, what does that mean? What happens when God remembers iniquity? He judges it, doesn't he? But for 70 years, and really 1930 is when 3031, in 30 it was gaining momentum, but by 1931, the history books will show you, the depression was fully underway. 1931 was the hardest year this nation ever went through. Now what happens when you count ahead 70 years? When God no longer forgets but now remembers the iniquity. What happened in the fall of 29 that brought forth the depression, which reached its apex in 31 and then gave way to Franklin Delano Roosevelt in 32? What happened 70 years later, 2001, in the fall of the year, 9/11 to be exact? After 70 years, I could read this again, you know. It says, talks about this land of the Chaldeans, this modern-day Babylon. They set up the towers thereof, they raised up the palaces thereof, and he brought it to ruin. Then he talks about the howling that would be going on. And our whole country and the whole world has changed since that day. It's undeniable, it's not the same world anymore. And we're now in the midst of another great war that is forming. In the Middle East, you look at the Palestinian state, Israel, Palestinians, all that whole area there is a powder keg. Religious leaders being assassinated. This world is so full of hate. Don't worry, the good news is right at the end. And it shall come to pass in that day that Tyre shall be forgotten 70 years, it says. 70 years. According to the days of one king. After the end, which, by the way, 70 years is the tenure of a king. It's supposed to be. After the end of 70 years, shall Tyre sing as an harlot. A harlot is a whore, a very wicked woman that can be bought and sold. A harlot's song would be sung, a singing city. Even though the towers came down and were destroyed, she sings as a whore. Why? She's singing a final seductive song, rallying everybody to come together and receive a mark in their right hand or on their forehead, or they will not be able to buy or sell at all. Take an harp, go about the city, thou harlot, that hast been forgotten. In other words, he set her aside, didn't judge her yet. Make sweet melody, sing many songs, that thou mayest be remembered. Just keep on like you are. You will be remembered. Judgment will come. See, this is how God says, I'm going to let it go until it's reached the full. Until all of this plan comes to fruition. Then, at the proper time, I will bring judgment and I will bring ultimate salvation to my people. Verse 17 says, and it shall come to pass after the end of 70 years, that the Lord will visit Tyre, and she shall turn to her hire. In other words, what a harlot is paid. In other words, she will turn the trick, as the old expression goes, for the Antichrist. Do you see that? And shall commit fornication with all the kingdoms of the world upon the face of the earth. Now, some people say, how do you know contextually that you're in the right place here, that you're talking about New York, that this is an ancient Tyre that's being talked about? Because ancient Tyre did not commit fornication with every kingdom in the world. It was a limited, temporary ancient kingdom that was a type of another kingdom. Satan relocating, putting his seat elsewhere where he could rule the entire world from a city of islands, with five boroughs. And you look at what's in that city, the headquarters for the CFR, the headquarters for the Trilateral Commission, the United Nations itself, all of the banking system, all of the garment industry, all of the industry of perfumes and makeup and so forth, the food commodities market. Everything. Take all of it. Look at it. There's only one city in the world that fits the description. And it's the city where towers came down 70 years from the time when it had reached a devastating blow. And God overlooked it for 70 years. And then, and now, what are we seeing? Then after God began to work again, that whore began to sing unto all the nations, and commit fornication with all the nations, and trade with all the nations. And from that vantage point, the wealth of this country began to flow out through NAFTA and GATT and all these different agreements, and flowing out from this country to China, flowing out to India, flowing out to all these other nations, Southeast Asia, Europe. The wealth is flowing out. The market is interdependent on all the other nations and sensitive to any little world event that would happen. This country is absolutely cursed and destroyed. And the sign that those 70 years were up is when those towers fell. Because right after that, she began to sing her final song and commit her final whoredom to get all the nations and all the religions to come together under one leadership of Satan. But you know, you look at how this all happened. I don't have time to go into more detail on this, but when you have at the turn of the century, remember what happened? Remember the big display in 1999? New Year's Eve, and they displayed this on the televisions. There was the Washington Monument. There was the reflecting pool. There were the words 1999 But the way they had it set up and the angle of the camera, you couldn't see the one. All you could see is 999 reflecting in the pool is 666 in red. It sat there in that reflecting pool in red. I saw it. Others that were at my house saw it. 666 laid directly under the Washington Monument. Then, at midnight, light and fireworks went off, and light began to climb the shaft of that massive shaft of Baal, that obelisk of Egypt, all the way from the ground up to the 555-foot mark. Light began to pulsate as this thing began to generate its reproductive power spiritually. Precisely 9 months later, after that phallic symbol went off, 9 months later, on Labor Day weekend, Labor Day, 9 months, gestation period, right? You had all the leaders of the world come together at the UN in the year 2000, in September on Labor Day. 1 year later, the towers came down and changed our world. And all of the wealth of this country is now pouring into just a few entities. Banks have merged. Walmart has literally taken over mercantilism, lock, stock, and barrel. Very little competition and dying rapidly. They're using the RFID system. The next step, of course, is to get it on you. You can already go and get a device, if you want to pay for it, that slips over your finger like a big thimble. It registers your fingerprint, which is registered at the bank. That device then will only work on you and because of your fingerprint. It identifies with it. And you go in the grocery store, and you go down the aisle, and you want this and that, and you point your finger at it, at the little barcode there, and it lights up, a little beep on your finger. It totals everything up for you. It's all on the end of your finger. You got it all in a cart. You don't have to check it out. It's been checked out. You just go over, and you beep at the register, and out the door you go. They're already using it. Some people say, neat! Wow, I want one. That's the way the world is. It's moving so fast, folks. And it says here that this harlot shall sing and shall commit fornication with all the kingdoms of the world upon the face of the earth. And the last verse is the best of all. What are we going to do? It says, and her merchandise and her hire shall be holiness to the Lord. Does that mean God accepts what she's doing? Oh, no, no, he's judging her. It shall not be treasured nor laid up. Their system is going to fail, folks. It's going to fail. For her merchandise shall be for them that dwell before the Lord, to eat sufficiently and for durable clothing. When their system, which is supposed to be so foolproof and so amazing and so seducing, fails, God has a way of feeding you and clothing you. He's going to somehow take what they've done, what they've got, and enough of it will fall into your hands to sustain you. That's the promise right here. Did you hear that? How's he going to do it? I don't know, but he's God. And her merchandise and her hire, the wealth that she has stolen, in other words, shall be holiness to the Lord. God's going to lay claim on it and say, it's not yours. It's ill-gotten good. It's not your gain. It shall not be treasured nor laid up. You're not going to be able to get anything out of this, meaning the Illuminists. For her merchandise shall be for them that dwell before the Lord. The meek shall inherit the earth. Right? To eat sufficiently and for durable clothing. You know what God's saying there? I'm going to take care of you. David said, once I was young, now I'm old, but I've never seen the righteous forsaken or a seed begging for bread. Right up until that, now you can tell them no. They come around with chip wagon, chipmobile. You can tell them no. Do you know how many people are going to line up? Could you see that thing pulling up at our post office here? Have people in town running over there, oh boy, you know, because of benefits. Give me one of those. And there it is. And, you know, now we know when you're sleeping, we know when you're awake, you know, we know if you've been bad or good by their standards, right? And the eye of Horus is watching you, watching you, watching you. And you have been, you become property of der Staat because you are marked. They have actually put a karagma, as it says in the Greek, a cutting, an incision in the flesh. That's the mark. In the right hand or in the forehead. And all of these guys that are all tattooed up and pierced up, yeah, that's no problem. If they're willing to go to the piercing pagoda and get this pierced and that pierced and other things pierced and things that shouldn't show to anybody pierced and I'll get all this stuff done and then go and get marked tattoos all over. What's another one? You go to the Chipmobile. Huh? And maybe all these ministers will be out there saying, yeah, this is fine, be loyal, you know, Romans 13, do whatever they say. Right? Maybe that Chipmobile will have one of them fishes on the side of it, like those so-called Christians use to be fish and chips. Huh? There's something fishy about it, but you know, the Lord's going to sustain us. Just think what a great opportunity it'll be to say, uh-uh. No, because he's going to give to me to eat sufficiently and I'm going to have durable clothing. Promise of God. And this all fits like a hand in a glove with the book of Revelation. I believe Satan has taken up his residence in New York. He's managing all of the enterprises from there. And many signs are unfolding. And they're having the Republican convention there, aren't they, this year? In New York City, Manhattan. I saw pictures of the police officers. You know, I went to New York for the first time in 1995. They were just cops with a stick and a little sidearm, and nice guys, talk to them. Now you go over there, and they're armed to the hilt. Automatic weapons, in addition to the sidearms, they got the bulletproof vest, the helmets, the whole works. They look like they're ready for everything. I mean, they're ready to shoot, and they're not nice anymore either. A police state. And they're in there by the thousands. And it's going to cost, I don't remember how many, hundreds of millions of dollars just to protect these politicians as they have their convention. So these are strange times, folks, but you have a promise from God that you will have sufficient food and durable clothing. God said, he promised throughout his word he'd take care of us right to the end. And I don't know the details, but I know he will help us. And what they have gathered up is turned unto God's people. And the meek shall inherit the earth. And Jesus said, he shall inherit all things. Of course, he's going to burn this up first. But what I'm saying is, you survive. As Daniel stood there in Babylon that night when the Medo-Persians came in and destroyed it, he went in to the next kingdom, didn't he? He survived it by the gift of God. If you have the gift of God, if you're filled with the Holy Ghost, if you belong to him, if you are sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, folks, you don't have to worry. The towers have fallen, the great sign. The whore is singing right now, singing her last seductive songs as the nations gather and as prophecy finally is being fulfilled. God help us, but be encouraged. He's promised to take care of you. Amen. Let's stand together. And I did go over 12 minutes. So that Sam is going to have a job splicing and dicing and, you know, getting us all together, but he can do it. So we're going to pray and ask the Lord to help us. Father in heaven, we are so thankful for the encouragement of thy word and knowing and understanding, O Lord, that thou hast a way prepared for those that love thee. That thou wilt watch over us, that no matter what happens in this world, thou art able to sustain us and take care of us. And we rest upon that promise in faith. And we thank thee, Lord, for thy delivering and saving power. And now, O Lord, I pray that thou wouldst guide and direct us, be with us, give us victory at all times, help us to be faithful children to thy word. And help us, O Lord, as we see these things come to pass, to warn others also. Be with us and keep us in that way everlasting, I ask. in the name of the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Through the power of the blood. Amen.